The Murders in the Rue Morgue and Other Stories by Edgar Allan Poe. Copyright Burlington Books 2001. The Mask of the Red Death. The Red Death had devastated the country for a long time. There had never been such a deadly plague or such a horrible one. Blood was its identifying mark, the redness and the horror of blood. First, the victim felt sharp pains and experienced dizziness. Then, blood began to pour out of his skin. The red stains on the body, and especially on the face of the victim, were the signs that he had the Red Death. Of course, no one wanted to know him then. No one would go near him. The whole process, from the catching of the plague to death, only took half an hour. But Prince Prospero was happy and fearless. After half of his people had died, he called together 1,000 healthy, carefree friends from his court and took them far away to one of his distant castles. The castle was a magnificent building. The prince, with his unusual but excellent taste, had planned it himself. There was a strong high wall around it. In the wall were gates of iron. Once everyone was inside, the courtiers sealed the huge gates shut, so that no one could enter and no one could leave. There was plenty of food in the castle, and the prince provided all kinds of entertainment, clowns, musicians, ballet dancers, and plenty of wine. The prince and his friends planned to escape the terrible plague outside the castle walls. The world could look after itself. They would not worry or think about it. Everyone inside the castle was safe. Outside, there was the Red Death. 5 or 6 months later, while the plague continued to kill thousands of people in the outside world, Prince Prospero invited his friends to a masked ball, or masque. The ball was held in a suite of 7 rooms. In many palaces, suites are built in a straight line. But here it was very different, for the prince, you will remember, had very strange taste. There was a sharp turn every 7 or 10 meters, so that you could only see 1 room at a time. In the middle of each wall, to the right and left, was a tall, narrow window. These windows looked out onto a corridor which ran alongside the rooms. The windows were made of stained glass, and the colour of the glass varied according to the decor of the room. In the room at the east end, for example, everything was blue, and the windows were bright blue. In the second room, everything was purple, as were the windows. The third room was green, the fourth orange, the fifth white, and the sixth violet. In the 7th room, everything was covered in black velvet. Only in this room were the windows a different colour from the decor. They were scarlet, the colour of blood. On the night of the masque, no candles were placed in any of the 7 rooms. However, in the corridor opposite each stained glass window, there stood a 3-legged table holding a dish of fire. The firelight shone through the coloured glass and produced a strange and wonderful effect. In the black room, however, the effect of the firelight streaming through the blood-coloured glass onto the velvet was truly horrible. The light gave such a wild look to the faces of those who entered this room that very few of the guests were brave enough to set foot here at all. In this black room stood a huge black clock. Its pendulum swung with a heavy, monotonous sound. Clang, clang, clang. Every hour, when the clock struck, it gave a loud, clear musical sound. It was such a strange sound that the musicians of the orchestra had to stop playing to listen. The dancers stopped dancing, and the whole party became afraid. The people forgot their happiness. With each chime, The prince's guest felt time moving closer and closer towards them. But as soon as the chime stopped, the laughter started again. The musicians smiled and promised that they would not stop playing the next time the clock chimed. But 60 minutes later, when the clock made the same sound, all the people reacted the same way. Nevertheless, the ball was magnificent. The prince had a good eye for colour and effect. Not only had he planned the decor of the 7 rooms for the ball, but he had decided what everyone should wear. And stranger, more bizarre costumes were never seen. They were grotesque. It was a collection of dreams that moved around the rooms. These dreams danced about, changing colour according to the colour of the room, making the wild music of the orchestra seem like the echo of their steps. And then the black clock in the velvet room struck the hour, and for a moment everything was still. Everything was silent except the sound of the clock. Clang, clang, clang. But the chimes only lasted an instant, and quiet laughter could be heard once more. The music began again, and the dreams danced more wildly than before, taking their colour from the rooms. None of the dancers dared go into the black room, as the light streaming through the windows was redder and more bloody than ever, and the room appeared even more terrifying. The other rooms were full. People were enjoying themselves at the prince's party. None of the guests thought about the suffering and death outside the castle. When the clock struck midnight, the music stopped and the dancers were still. The clock sounded its 12th chime, and people noticed a masked figure enter the blue room. The news of the stranger's arrival spread quickly throughout the suite. At first, people felt surprise and disapproval. Then they showed their horror. There were many bizarre costumes at the party that night, but everyone agreed that the stranger's costume went too far. The figure was tall and thin, and he was dressed from head to foot in the clothes of death. His mask looked like the face of a dead person, and it was hard to tell if it was real or not. The masked stranger had dressed as the Red Death. His clothes were dripping with blood, and there was blood on his face and forehead. The stranger moved slowly among the dancers. When Prince Prospero first saw him, he shook with terror, but then his face grew red with anger. The music stopped as he started to speak. "Who dares to insult us like this?" he cried. "Who dares to come here and make fun of us? Hold him and take off his mask, so that we may know who it is. We will hang him at sunrise." The prince's words echoed through the 7 rooms, for he was a strong, brave man. While he was speaking, some of the dancers moved towards the stranger. A terrible fear took hold of them, and no one could put out his hand and grab the masked figure. While all the dancers moved back against the walls of the rooms, the stranger walked slowly from the blue room to the purple room, from the purple room to the green room, then to the orange, to the white, and onto the violet. No one tried to stop him. Then Prince Prospero, angry with himself for his fear, ran quickly through the 6 rooms after the stranger. The prince pulled out his sword and ran to attack the masked figure. When the stranger reached the black room, he turned suddenly. There was a loud cry, the sword dropped onto the black carpet, and Prince Prospero fell to the floor, dead. A crowd of dancers found the courage to attack the stranger. They grabbed the masked figure and pulled off his mask and costume. They looked in horror. The mask and costume were empty. There was no one inside. Everyone realized that the stranger was the Red Death. He had come like a thief in the night to steal their hope, their happiness, and their lives. One by one the dancers died. No one escaped the terrible death. The castle had no defense against the evil plague. Soon the 7 rooms were filled with blood. When the last dancer died, the great black clock stopped, and the fires in the corridor went out. There was nothing but darkness, decay, and the Red Death.